So I want you to imagine something with me, okay? Imagine this. Imagine that you are living in a time where everything seems completely different. Like, in fact, the whole world just seems to be upside down. The way that things used to be seem like they're completely different now. And it seems like almost every day something new is happening that doesn't make sense or didn't used to happen like back in the day when you were growing up. Imagine that maybe even you are away from your hometown and you're trapped and you're caught away from home, or maybe you're stuck at home and you're not allowed to go out. And maybe you've even been told not to group together, not to get together in groups, but instead you've been scattered apart from each other. And even maybe you've been told that if you do get together, you could be arrested. It could be that dangerous for you. That might sound like I'm talking about right now, but what I'm actually talking about is a time in the early church when the church was under persecution, where they had been scattered, where everything was different, right? The religious leaders and the political leaders who had crucified Jesus were not happy with his followers either. And so they were living in an unsure time where I'm sure they were having conversations somewhat at least similar to what you and I are having when we get together or we talk with somebody on the phone or through a video call and we're like, can you believe what's happening? I mean, is this crazy or what? And, you know, you're not allowed to go to work, you're not allowed to go to school, and everything has changed. Well, we are still called during this time to be the church. In fact, we are starting a sermon series today called Be the Church. The church was actually born out of a time of suffering, out of a time of persecution. And so you might be asking yourself the question, I know I have, what does it look like to be the church now? Like, what does it look like to be the church in a time where we can't get together with each other and we can't do things the way that we used to do them? That's a legitimate question. Well, during this time of quarantine, of this time of coronavirus, we actually want to be your online church. I actually had someone tell me this past week, hey, during this time, you are my quarantine church. And I was like, you know what? I like that. I appreciate that. Man, we would really love to be your quarantine church, and not just a church service, but actually a church where you're able to get engaged, stay involved, have community. Because we want to be a church where we're helping you be who God created you to be. We want to help you come out on the other side of this epidemic, this pandemic, stronger than when you went into it. And we think that is totally possible if you allow us to be your church, if you allow us into your life to be a part of what God is doing during this time. You know, but I will tell you this, we have always here at Belmont, we want to be the church together, not just play church, not just pretend church, not just even go to church, not do church. We don't want people who just like critique church, right? Or rate church, or like, how is a church ministering to me? A lot of people have different thoughts about the church in general. Like, well, that church is good at that, and that church is good at that, but how are they treating me lately? Let me challenge you during this time to forget all that. And just realize that now is the time for you and me as followers of Jesus to be the church together. Now's the time. And so we're going into this series from the book of Acts. If you have a copy of the scriptures with you, go ahead and turn there to Acts chapter 1. Our favorite way of teaching and preaching here at Belmont is through books of the Bible. And so we'll be going through the book of Acts for some time, and we want you to be a part of that with us. So Acts chapter 1, we're going to jump in a sermon today called, Can I Get a Witness? Because Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's reminding them that he is leaving them here, and that while he's gone, while he's away, that he is calling them to be witnesses right where they're at, but also all the way around the whole entire world. Before we go to the word of the Lord, let's go to the Lord of the Word and ask him to bless our time together. Jesus, thank you for giving us your book, your letter to us. And Lord, as we open it today, God, I pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes to see what you have for us. And we pray this in your mighty and powerful name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, Can I Get a Witness? We're going to break verses 1 through 11 down into three parts, right? The first part, verses 1 through 5, is going to be a review. So Luke's given us a review of what he's already told us in his other book, the book of Luke. But it's also a good time for us to stop and review and remember and rethink church in general and how we came to be and how we do things. But also, it's a time of regrouping in verses 6 through 8 because they are receiving their new mission. Jesus is sending them on a mission. He's telling them what not to think about, and he's actually telling them what to think about during that time as well. And then 9 through 11 is return, and we're going to see where two angels show up on the scene, and they say, hey, dudes, quit staring up in the sky. This Jesus that you saw disappear right now, guess what? He's coming back. He's going to be returning. But in the meantime, go do what he told you to do. And so that's the breakdown. Wanted to give that to you ahead of time. And we're going to jump into the review part in verses 1 through 5. Just so you know, this is, once again, a review of what Luke gives us at the very end, the last couple of verses in Luke chapter 24. It kind of reminds me of when I was growing up as a kid. I'd get off the school bus sometimes, and I would go to a buddy's house. And back in the day, man, the TV that he had, it was pretty dope. I mean, for back in, you know, the 1800s, well, I'm not that old, but back in that time, a TV this big just wasn't normal to have. And we would go to his house off the school bus, and we would watch a TV show called The A-Team, which I thought was the coolest show ever. It was these four dudes that would drive around in a black van all across the country, and they would, like, save the day. And they had this theme music that was like, dun da 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 dun dun da. And they would, like, bust up on the scene, shoot, like, a million rounds from a machine gun. Nobody would ever get hurt. And then at the end of the day, the bad guys would be in jail. The good guys would escape and get away to their next mission. Once in a while, though, they would have this really long episode. And this is the part that I was getting to and that really would get to me, because we'd be watching the show, it would be at this climactic scene, and then all of a sudden, the dreaded three words would come up on the screen: to be continued. Oh no, oh man, we gotta wait till tomorrow. And so you have to go through the whole routine again, right? Get up for school, go to school, pretend like you cared about school, and then get off the bus, and then do what you really wanted to do, which was watch The A-Team and see what happened. And then they would give you the review, the recap. They would help you remember what happened, because they would play this 30, 45-second clip of all the highlights from before. So that is what Luke is doing right now. Luke has given us verses 1 through 5. He's given us a recap. He's helping us remember what happened. Let's see what it says. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And so this is what happens. He says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with this and that. And so, first of all, he's letting us know that I wrote another book. So in the first book, that's the book of Luke, I wrote to you, O Theophilus. And when he opens up in the book of Luke, chapter 1, he says this, O most excellent Theophilus. And so he gives them this big title, which was a title that was reserved for pretty important people. So this guy, Theophilus, wasn't just some ordinary dude off the street. He was a high-up, wealthy official. And there's a pretty good chance that he was the one who had been funding Luke to go on these journeys to gather this information, to write down these stories so that they could be encapsulated. And so, empowered by the Holy Spirit, Luke traveled and he interviewed and he did his history work and he put together the book of Acts for us. And so that's a blessing to us as a church, so we can see how the church came to be. And so he says, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach in my first book. I've told you, Theophilus, about the words and the works of Jesus. And I've done that, he says, in an orderly way, in an orderly account, so that you can know for certain that what you've been taught is true. You see, Theophilus had been learning about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Luke knew that it was so important that he wrote down the truth about Jesus in an orderly way and presented it to this man so that he could know for sure who Jesus was. And then beyond that, so that he could know what the church was all about. And so that is what Luke is doing for Theophilus and also for me and you. You know, the word Theophilus or the name Theophilus actually means lover of God or friend of God. And so he was writing it to this guy who had fallen in love with Jesus. But hopefully that's you too. Hopefully you are a friend of God or a lover of God, and the Word of God is speaking to you in this time of quarantine while you're reading it and studying and meeting with Jesus in your daily encounter. Let's keep going. So I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And so Jesus was hanging out. He was ministering to his disciples. He was given commands. He wasn't just showing up once in a while and doing nothing. He was actually preparing them for what was to come when he would be totally gone from their presence for an extended period of time. Verse 3 says this, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So Jesus is presenting himself to the disciples and many others. The Bible says over 500 people he presented himself to with many convincing proofs. That some of the proofs that he used were his body. He said, I'm showing you my body, flesh and bones, so that you can know that I am resurrected from the grave. He showed them the scars in his hands and his feet and his sides so that they could see that it actually was them. He sat down and he ate with them to show them that this was a physical body that he had. He taught them about the kingdom of God, which is a really neat thing that he was teaching them during this time, because the state that they were in was in upheaval. Things were crazy. And Jesus was teaching them about the kingdom of God and reminding them that this world that we live in, it's only temporary. This kingdom, this country that we're a part of, it's not our final destination. The Bible says that we are strangers and aliens. We're just passing through this time, and we're heading to our eternal home because our citizenship is in heaven. And so verse 4 says this, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. So don't go back to your houses. Don't go back to Galilee. Stay right where you're at. Go just up the street here to Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there until the right time comes. And that right time was to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. And they had heard that from Jesus on a number of occasions, that it was good for him to leave because unless Jesus left, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come. And so he's instructing them, go back to Jerusalem, don't run back home, don't be scared, do what I've commanded you, and the Holy Spirit's going to come and empower you. You heard this from me. Verse 5, for John baptized with water, John the Baptist, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It was actually going to be 10 days from now. So Jesus was here on earth 40 days after his resurrection. Then he ascended into heaven. 10 days later, it was Pentecost, and that's when the Holy Spirit came down. And so Pentecost actually means 50. And so that's what's happening in the review, verses 1 through 5. He's reminding them of what happened. Let me just encourage you with this and just say that it is good for you and I during this time, as we seek to be the church together, to stop and review, to do a quick recap of where the church came from, how we got here, how much it cost our Savior, how much he loves us, so much that he gave his own life so that we could have new life. And then when we get that new life, we're born into a new family, and that family is God's family. It's called the church. And so when we remember that, it's good and healthy for us to remember that yes, the church was born in a time of trouble and persecution. But we also remember that Jesus loves his church. He loves his bride. It's his body, and that's who we are called to be. Let's review that. Let's recap that. Let's remember that. So verse 6 through 8, though, we go on to regroup, and he says this. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And so he had been teaching them about the kingdom, but it seems like they didn't quite get what he was talking about because they were still thinking politically, like, is now the time? Are you going to take over? I mean, are you going to get these people back for what they did to you? Are you going to show them your power at this time? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Let me pause right there and just remind us that God does not always work the way that we want him to or we expect him to. So in this situation where they're worried about the kingdom and they're worried about what they think is going to happen and what they're hoping is going to happen, it reveals to us the condition of their hearts. You know, at one time they had actually argued over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. So they wanted this kingdom to happen, and they wanted to be the man, right? They wanted to sit next to Jesus and be close to him. And so they're like, is it go time? Like, is it like A-team time? Is it time for you to bust on the scene and show everybody what's up? And Jesus says, you know what? That's not for you to know. That's above your pay grade. That's over your head. You don't need to worry about that right now. But the same thing could happen for us today. That could creep into our hearts or in our minds to think politically about the kingdom of God, which is not a political kingdom. You know, we're leading up to this election cycle that's coming up. And here at Belmont, we're blessed with a diverse congregation. We're blessed with people that are a part of this church and the people that watch online that are from way different backgrounds, ethnicities, economic statuses, and people that vote different ways. So yes, we have people who are Democrats, people who are Republicans, people who are independents, people who are libertarians, people who are... Is there something else out there I can't think of? I don't know. But it's from every stripe, but these people love each other. Why? Because they love Jesus and his kingdom, and they realize that that is more important, and that is where we put our hope, is in our king, and our citizenship is with him primarily. Yes, we are on this earth as stewards, as part of whatever country God has you a part of right now. But let me encourage you to think deeply about where you put your hope. Because whoever is elected the next president of the United States, for instance, is not going to be your savior. That's not going to make everything okay. It's not going to fix everything in your life. And so we want to be careful as a church to say that our hope is in heaven. You know, Jesus goes on to tell them this. He says, it's not for you to know the time. It's not for you to know the place. See, they were worried about when it was going to happen. And Jesus tells you, don't worry about it. Here's what I want you to think about instead. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You see, you're thinking locally about your own situation and about your rights and your privileges and what one political leader might do for you and what another one might not do for you and how that might line up with how you see the world. But Jesus says, I have a more important task that supersedes all of that stuff that happens here on this earth. Know that I am your resurrected king and I am calling you into my service. You are my ambassador while I am gone. And here's what you are to do. You are to be my witness. That's what you're to do. So no matter what your political preference is, that's not primary in your life. What's primary in your life is that you have been called to be a witness of Jesus Christ, of the risen Savior. And so they were witnesses there. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not really good at talking to people about Jesus, or maybe I don't have the gift of evangelism. What we don't want to do is we don't want to confuse the gift of evangelism with the call to be a witness. You see, if you were driving around this week and you were hanging out with less than 10 people and you witnessed an accident, right? You saw people, two cars collide, and the police officer came and talked to you from a distance of 6 feet away, of course. And he said, hey, did you see what happened? And you said, yeah, I did. And he said, okay, well, I need you to come to court and when they reopen and tell us what happened. Now, you probably wouldn't say, well, I'm not really good at talking in front of people, so, and I don't know much about cars, so I'm going to take a pass on that. I don't want to be a witness. Well, you see, the job of a witness is just to tell what you saw, to tell what happened to you. And that is something that every single one of us is called to do, is to be a witness that we have encountered the risen Christ and that He has changed us. He's changed us from the inside out and made us totally new. And so he's coaching his disciples up and saying, hey guys, I'm leaving. I'm going to my kingdom. Don't get your kingdoms confused. Keep your focus right. Let's regroup. Now's a great time for us as a church to regroup, to rethink how it is that we are being the church together. It's a time when we're forced to do that. And I think that it can be a really healthy thing for us to go, let's take a look at how we've been doing things and pray and ask God how we can improve on how we're doing things and how we can be a better witness and how we can reach more people and how we can put our preferences aside during this time. Because what we don't want to do is people who are more concerned about the kingdom of this world, whether it's a political kingdom. Some people can get so caught up in the political world that they can actually ruin their witness to people who vote a different way than they do, because that's the most important thing to them. But there's also another kingdom, this kingdom of this world, or the kingdom of darkness, maybe the kingdom of entertainment of this world. And I want to challenge us as a church not to be a people who are not waiting on the Lord and waiting for that power to come and praying to receive that. Instead, I've heard this said before that if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. Well, right now, for a lot of people, they can't be busy. So I think it could also be said that if the devil can't make you bad and he can't make you busy, he can make you distracted. And it's really easy to fall into this mindset of, well, I'm off, I'm home, I'm quarantined, I'm going to make this about me. Man, no, be the church instead. Don't get caught up on streaming shows left and right and wasting time. Instead, invest this quarantine time for the kingdom. Whatever that looks like for you in your situation, be the church. Regroup. Get yourself together, rethink, call out to the Lord and ask Him, what does it look like for me to be the church over the next few months, right here on my street, in my neighborhood? How can I be a witness? Because remember, He called us to do that. And that's when we receive power. You know, sometimes as Christians, we can go through life and we feel powerless, right? You might feel that way now. You might feel pretty weak or frail or just worried or wondering what in the world's going to happen and feel like maybe you were on top of the world before and now this whole thing is just, man, it's turned everything upside down. Well, the Bible tells us that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we will be His witnesses all over the world. You see, when you move into action to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you receive the power that you need. Don't get caught up thinking that it's all about you and about your ability to go and talk to a neighbor or to call a friend or to share something online with somebody to encourage them. Instead, remember that it is God and His power that does the work to enable you, but it is also the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, that works in the other person's life to give them the gift of faith so that they can come alive spiritually, so that the words that you're saying even make sense, and so that the words of the scriptures come alive to them. That is God working in His power. Then he talks about the return, right? And so in verse 9, he says this, "And when he has said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight." Now, that's pretty cool, right? So he's sitting there talking to them about the kingdom. "Hey, guys, check it out. I want y'all to go back to Jerusalem and wait there. Do not leave until you receive the power that I'm talking about." And as he's talking, it's like he starts getting higher and higher and higher. And then he's lifted way up into the air with a cloud. And they're all just like, "What is happening right now? Are you kidding me?" Like, that's just something you don't see every day. And so he's being lifted up into the air on a cloud, and he took him out of their sight. And they were standing there a while, right? I'm not sure how fast Jesus was going, but it's like when you lose a balloon, right? One of your kids loses a balloon from a restaurant, and you're like, "Ah!" And you're watching it go out of sight, and you're like, "Wait, no, I think I still see it right there. No, that's an airplane." So they didn't have to worry about airplanes back then, but they were watching, waiting, going, "Whoa, that is memorable, and that's crazy." And as they were still standing there looking, the Bible says in verse 10, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Hey guys, why are you standing there? I got to think this is the same two angels that showed up at the tomb, right? And they had something pretty unique to say there, because when the lady showed up to the tomb, these guys were there and they said, "Hey, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen." And so there was a group of people that were looking for something that was not there, and they were just like surprised and maybe frozen, like, and like, "Hey, wake up. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here." And then in the same situation, they look up and all these guys were standing around staring into heaven. And they're going, "Why are you doing that? He's gone now, but he will return in the same way that he had left, in the sky, in a physical body. Jesus will come back. But what you need to be doing now is doing what he told you to do. Go on into Jerusalem and wait there." You know, the book of Luke tells us that they went there joyfully, that they went to Jerusalem joyfully, even though life was upside down, even though life was crazy and they had seen and experienced a whole lot of things in a short amount of time, a crucifixion, which made them think one kind of a way, and then a resurrection, which blew their mind, and now an ascension. I mean, they were wondering, "Man, what's going to happen next?" Well, 10 days later, something pretty amazing is going to happen as well. Everything was crazy, but they went with joy because they had seen the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ, and they had been given assurance that he was going to return. Let me assure you with that same thing, that if you're going through an upside down kind of time right now and it seems like there's no end in sight, and you're not sure what it means to do life right now or even just to be the church right now, one hope that we have, the great hope that we have, is that Jesus is coming back. Our Savior, who gave his life for us, who rose from the grave, who ascended into heaven, he is going to return for you and for me. He is not gone forever, and we have a great hope in him. But that's also a great inspiration for us to get moving, right? To spring into action, because he's called us to be his witnesses all over the world. In Jerusalem first, starting with right where we are, right in your city, wherever you live, start there. Be a light there. Be a witness there. And as you do that, God will give you influence that will spread and will be greater and greater. It's like throwing a rock into a pond, and then the circles just get wider and wider and wider and wider. And that's how the gospel works as well, that it spreads and it grows and the influence reaches more people. We want to be the church that's doing that. You know, we actually are proud to be able to help sponsor a church right here in Roanoke, a church plant called the Hill Church. And we're also helping to plant a church in Pittsburgh next year. We're excited about that. We're partnering with a church in Puerto Rico as well, a church plant there. And so God is using this church right here in Roanoke, Belmont, to help make a difference in the world. And we just want to do our part to be a witness, both personally, on our streets, during our quarantine time, but also corporately as a church to move into action, to continue to spread the gospel in spite of the circumstances, knowing that God's coming back. And I don't know about you, but when he comes, I would love to hear the words, "Well done, great and faithful servant. You took what you had and you used it for my glory." And we want to be the church that's doing that. We don't want to just sit around and wait, but we want to move into action. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this word from Luke from the book of Acts. God, thank you that we can take the time now in our quarantine to review, to remember how the church got started. Lord, the power that was evident right there in those beginning days. And Lord, also, it's a time for us to regroup, to get a new message, to get a new method, Lord, so that we can spread the unchanging message of God's word all the way around the world. And Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom individually and corporately as we do that. But God, I also pray that we would remember your return, Lord, and that you would give us joy, even in the midst of a time that can be pretty trying for some people. Lord, I pray that our hope would not be in our politics, that it wouldn't be in our entertainment, Lord, that it wouldn't be in our bank account, in our retirement, any of that stuff. But Lord, that our hope would be in Jesus and in his soon return. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. Before you sign off, make sure you fill out that connection card that David mentioned earlier, because we really do want to connect with you. We really do want to be your online church during this time. And that's important to us to be able to minister to you and be a help to you and to help you grow stronger even during this time. Now, if God has spoken to you in any way today, whether it's about you being a greater witness with your time, or maybe you say, "Man, I need a witness. I need to receive a message from the Lord, and I need to hear more about Jesus Christ." Man, we would love to minister to you in that way. If you would fill out a connection card or start right now on the prayer chat, somebody would love to talk to you and explain to you more about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Not only that, but we've been called to go, like I said, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to all the ends of the earth. And we want to be a church that's continuing to do that. So let me say this. Thank you for those of you who have been able to continue on with your giving faithfully. Man, that has been so important to continue in the mission, to continue to support our partner churches, to continue to support the people here in our community through the least of these, through benevolence, through other things that we're able to do right here in our community. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. We actually have a new way to give. It's text to give, and so you'll see that on the screen right now. If you've never taken the opportunity to give before, check it out. Do it now. And the Bible says that if you do that, you'll be the one that actually gets blessed. Like, you're taking part in God's kingdom. So just try it out real quick. See what you think. And that would be a blessing to us. And that will allow us to continue to be a blessing to other people all the way around the world. Not only can you text to give, but you can also give on our online platforms. You could still, I think they're still doing snail mail, right? So you could mail it in. It might be a couple days before somebody gets that, but there's a variety of ways that you can participate in the giving. Beyond that, let me just say this. We love you. We see you. We know you're there. We want to be a part of your life right now in any way possible. So do not hesitate to reach out. If you need help, if you need something, if you need someone to talk to, man, do your part and reach out so that we'll know that that's happening and so that we can surround you, even if it's just through a phone call or digitally. We want to be there for you during this time. You guys have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you very soon, all right? God bless.